this. Queer Media, my name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And what a week it has been in the world of LGBTQ news. There's lots happening.
I mean, it depends on what sources you read, because what I've been reading is 40 versions of the same story.
So yes.
This is the big frustration with finding what's happening in the world is you follow a site and it's they'll release an article 20 minutes later. It's basically the same article, but with a twist. And then, like, the next day, it'll be the same topic. But now
they talk to a third guy.
A third
And person. Now it's a whole new story.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's a whole new story.
24-hour news cycle.
We have six stories on Brunei. Which is just so-and-so says this about Brunei.
It's just one
next
story.
So-and-so says this about Brunei.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, a lot of people get asked about Brunei. Anyway, we're not talking about that. You know what a lot of people are talking about?
Well, we will be, but not yet.
Yeah, eventually. You know what a lot of people are talking about?
Bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-N-A-S.
No. Although I'm
the
sure
look you just gave me.
Yeah, I was like, I was trying to think if I can work a Gwen Stefani line in there, and I'm like, no, I think the next line is swearing in it, so
there ain't no holler back, girl.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about bananas.
But what were you actually talking about before
I
distracted you?
I can't even remember now. Oh, yeah, gay people walk fast.
I mean,
apparently.
I can confirm that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple of people tweeted about it. One person has had over 45,000 retweets by saying that essentially the tweet was, straight people, look behind you. Chances are there's a gay person trying to get past because you move extremely slowly.
Well, it says a glacial pace.
Yeah, I was being polite.
I see, yeah.
And what's really, the reason why I think it's kind of blown up, and that was just one example. A lot of people have been doing different tweets, and it's kind of emerging in popular culture, as the kids say.
Well, it's popping up in online meme culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, the degree to which it's true, first we'll talk about the meme, and then we'll talk about why it's a challenge. Or we'll talk about our own experience, I guess. So, I mean, I could tell you that when I go out walking, the only people who don't complain that I'm walking too fast are other
gay men?
Yeah, well, yeah. There's only one person in my life where I had troubles catching up when we went out walking, and it was an ex-military lesbian.
Oh, yeah.
They have places to be, let me tell you.
They have many places
They have to be. Places to be, yeah. And then
I think I know the one you're talking about. And she has places to be.
No, you don't. This was a friend from when I was in Toronto.
Oh, you know too many.
I attract.
Lesbians,
yes,
yeah.
No. Ex-military lesbians love me for some reason.
It's true.
I think it's because I've been told it's my no-nonsense attitude.
Yeah, you come across like a butch lesbian.
Yeah. Except for when I do have nonsense, at which point it's extreme nonsense to the point of hilarity.
This is true.
Yeah, but anyway, there was one girl who I used to hang out with who would zip past me, and she was like 5'6".
Wow!
So she had little tiny legs that just motored like a Pomeranian, just
Broom,
yeah. And it was also really weird because if we were ever out at a movie or something like that,
because you're like 6'9", 6'10", like
I'm 6'2", but I do have long legs for my height as well.
Yeah.
So I have the legs.
So she's going,
and
you're like. Like, I just imagine a giraffe and, like, a possum.
Like a stilt walker that, like, their legs are moving slowly, but they're still moving at Mach 3, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes we'd go to the bathroom, and we would go into the bathroom at the same time, and I would come out, and she'd be standing there going, "What took you so long?" And I'm like,
wow, this lady really has places to be.
I think she learned how to pee standing or something like that.
Wow.
I do know several women who learned how to pee standing so that they could, like, get in and out with minimal problems, and they... Anyway, but yeah, the walking thing. Yes, can confirm.
You're the only
gay man I know who I have to slow down for.
And you say that because I can tell you the only people who outwalk me is other gay men. I actually have my Achilles tendon is about an inch shorter on one leg to the other. So I actually have a bit of a limp and I walk a bit slow.
You're on your tiptoes on your right leg and then your heel plate
is on
the left.
I say I walk slow. I outpace everybody when I walk to and from work, unless it's a gay man, in which case, just there's no way of keeping up, absolutely.
Although, actually, when I was in Montreal, everybody walked the same speed as me. This is another thing.
It's because you were in the village.
People have calculated, like, the walking speed of people around the world,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed when I lived in Hong Kong, that the city was cleanly divided between people who are trying to go Warp 9 and people who clearly have nothing to do with their day. And it was... I mean, this is one of the reasons why, you know, when people ask me, did I like Hong Kong or Japan better? He's like, let me tell you about Hong Kong. It smelled, it was loud, it was rude, it was in your face, it was brash, and I miss it.
And, I know people like that.
And it's mostly just because, like, when you're in a public space, you know that there's a difference between a crowd and a mass? And it was, these were masses, these were not crowds, they were never organized. Because crowds freak me out. When you see, like, 200 people chanting a song walking your way, I don't care how happy they look, it freaks me out. Whereas in Hong Kong, you never saw two people doing the same thing. Like, they were just brum all over the place, and it was good fun, and everybody was just motoring like they had somewhere to be, and I appreciate that in a person. Mm-hmm. And the people who were walking slow were pulled off to the side in the slow lanes.
Yeah. I liked what it. What was that meme? There was a meme that went out a while ago, and I can't remember if it was a stand-up comedy skit, but they went to a mall and installed slow lanes in the mall. So as you're walking along, if you're toodling looking at stores... There's a special lane, and they, like, whistled at people and pointed to the slow lanes so that they move out of the way.
Uh-huh. How did it actually work out?
I thought it was hilarious. People moved. I mean, people follow instructions. Like, that's a pretty common thing. But, yeah, some people were like, wow, what a great idea. And everyone who thought it was a great idea walked fast.
Walked fast, yeah. I know when I went to London with my ex and I met all his friends... All of them said that they wish that the sidewalk, or the pavement, I should say, in London had a fast lane and a slow lane painted on it because of tourists.
Oh, my days.
Just ruining everything.
You know, but I've been a tourist, and I've toodled along, and, you know, I am always aware of, like...
People behind you?
Yeah. You know, like, and I look, is this a wide sidewalk? If it's a wide sidewalk, I am toodling.
Yeah.
Because people can move around me.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's not a wide sidewalk, I'm like, okay, is there someone I can stand out of the way or what have you? You know, you have to be a bit considerate.
It's a weird thing, the idea that there's different pedestrian cultures in different cities. Mm. And the biggest difference I've seen so far is Ottawa and Montreal. And Montreal being the closest major city to Ottawa, no less. Mm. I mean, I guess Kingston is closer, but then you have to consider whether or not Kingston's a major city. I'm getting a very aggressive no from
it. It was a mild no. It's a nobody broadcasts us there. They won't know.
Okay, so when I moved to Ottawa, I was alarmed at the fact that it seemed like this was a city of people who did not know how to operate a sidewalk. Mm. Whereas you go to Montreal and like you're zipping along, and there's a group of people shoulder to shoulder covering the entire sidewalk. And they can hear you walking, and one of them turns their head, and they go, hey, les boys! And then they all shift over to the right, and they apologize for taking up the sidewalk. And they're like, let the guy pass! And they all huddle
but
up.
But in French,
and then as you go by, you say, ah, merci! And they're like, ah, bah, bonjour! And then, yeah, it's Montreal, let me tell you, it's a good place to be a pedestrian.
My favorite thing to do, and it gives me life, is at airport at the walk-a-laters, which is like those escalators you walk on. I call them walk-a-laters.
Moving platform, they're also called.
They're called walk-a-laters, let's be honest. Moving Hashtag walk-a-laters, gonna make it happen.
Or conveyor belt.
No, it's a walk-a-later. Mm. And I have when you have a suitcase with wheels and you walk on a walk-a-later, it goes...
Yeah, and
it sounds like a freight train. So if someone sat there toodling, not off to the side. If someone's off to the side, fine, I go around them. These things are wide enough for you to go around them.
There's always that one idiot who's just in the middle.
I know. So I walk quick, and I'm walking, and it sounds like there is a freight train about to run them over, and people look around, freaked out, and then move. It's great.
I don't understand how people stand on those things, because if you walk fast enough, it feels like you're going 50, 60, 70 times the speed of light. You're just, boom, and then, like, the wind is blowing through your hair, and you're just like...
Like your casting call for a L'Oreal advert.
Oh, man, yeah. Great. I have very short hair, but I can still feel the wind across my scalp because my hair is short enough that I can see
it. It's not Maybelline. It's a walk-a-later.
It's
absolutely. Well, one of the comments said about, you know, if you look at Google Maps, walk time 18 minutes. And that's the other thing I've noticed. Yes. It never takes me as long to get somewhere.
That's 12 minutes, yeah.
As Google Maps is telling me.
Now, here's the problem
with
this.
Me, it might be 13 minutes. It might be slower. Yeah.
So Here's the problem with how to study this. The moment somebody knows they're being studied, they change their behavior. Mm. So you would have to study somebody on some other grounds. Like, you know, here's paperwork and we're going to test you and your ability to fill it out, but you have to go to this place and then you pick it up and you have to walk across some campus to drop it off. And really what they're doing is measuring the pickup to drop off time, but you think it's all about the paperwork or something like that. You got to do some kind of distraction.
Yeah. Deceive them.
To deceive them, yeah. And then you can actually put in the paperwork. Like you put, what's that thing, the 7-point scale thingy? The thingy scale?
I don't know.
The thingy, the are you gay, 0 to 7?
Oh,
0 to 6, I should say. Yeah,
Kinsey scale.
Kinsey scale, yeah. You do like a Kinsey scale and then you have to drop it off somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you have all the time in the world, but really they're measuring your walking speed. Like yeah. that would be how you would do something like that, I guess. I don't know. It's impossible to say other than stereotyping, and I'm fine with that because I'm on the good side of the stereotype.
You know, it's funny because and I like what you're saying about Ottawa. Apparently, I'm like, Ottawa's a bad rep. We're not that bad. But I had the misfortune of
people
not leaving.
People don't know how to operate an elevator.
The doors open
and people try to rush in and you're like, this is a cul-de-sac. No one's getting in until the people in are getting out.
Yeah.
So you can all just stand aside and no, it's
like, where are we going, guys?
Yeah,
what are we doing?
Nothing.
And now the elevator door is closing and nobody got anywhere.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk quickly about... relatively quickly-ish, it's about Mark Smith. So Mark Smith is running for the Conservative Party in Alberta during the election that's going on there.
Okay.
And what's quite interesting is that the Gay Wire, which is the LGBT radio show in Edmonton,
okay,
broke the story that the Drayton Valley Devon... education critic, which is Mark Smith, has made many comments during his time at the Calvary Baptist Church.
Okay.
Yes.
Calvary is the name of the city?
No, it might just be called the Calvary Baptist Church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the same area. Now, they actually linked the audio they pulled from the sermon that was given to the Calvary Baptist Church, and they cited it onto the Calvary Baptist Church's own website, and this was a sermon that was provided in November 10th, 2013. However, the Calvary Baptist Church has decided that that webpage no longer exists. So,
it's a type of church. There's one of them in Ottawa, too, apparently. Yeah.
But unfortunately for them, everything on the internet survives and nothing is ever deleted.
Because the Wayback Machine,
The Wayback Machine, absolutely. And we can actually play a clip of it. I'm hoping we can get it work. This is something what he said, and we'll be back in just a few seconds.
I mean, Robert Latimer murdered his daughter and called it love. You don't have to watch any TV for any length of time today where you don't see on the TV programs them trying to tell you that homosexuality and homosexual love is good love. Heck, there are even people out there. I could take you to places on the website, I'm sure, where you could find out that where pedophilia is love.
So yeah, essentially Mark Smith has compared homosexuality to pedophilia. Now, this happens a lot. This is sort of the gay men are pedophiles, what's next, bestiality, heaven forbid. You know, gay marriage has been legal in Canada for many, 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 many years.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuality has been decriminalized for 50 years this year. And
that's right.
Absolutely. And yet there hasn't been a massive outbreak of bestiality, as far as I'm aware.
Or gay pedos.
No. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Weirdly enough, a lot of the pedophiles are straight. Who knew?
Yeah, there's a lot of information about that. Anyway, so yeah, it's the... what was I saying? I just brain farted.
Yeah. So he essentially equated homosexuality with pedophilia. And his whole point was, during the sermon, was, you know... here is what love is, and here's what people are pretending love is.
Right.
You know, and I think there was one about somebody who'd killed their wife and claimed it was love, and clearly that's not love.
Yeah.
Pedophilia, where you're literally traumatizing a child in the worst way possible, clearly that's not love. Consenting homosexual adults, clearly, you know, ergo, that's also not love, which is really quite the, it's just...
I mean, we also have the problem that English has one word for love as opposed to some languages that have like nine. French is the worst, where you use the same word for tacos and ice cream that you do for kittens and your spouse. So, I mean, it's, which is all aimé. But, yeah, no, it's not great, because if you talk about love, then, like, you know, loving your children, that's normal English usage. But you don't say you love your children. You don't love your children. Whereas, like, you know, I think we just need more words for this stuff. But, like, adult consensual love of someone who is also a consenting adult who can love you back, that's a different kind of love.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And the capacity to consent is very different from adult males to children and animals.
Yeah.
I think that needs to be done. So just to be absolutely clear here that oh my gosh, I've blanked on his name. Mark Smith said, and I quote here, "You don't have to watch any TV for any length of time today where you don't see on the TV programs that I'm trying to tell you that homosexuality and homosexual love is good love in less than a heartbeat. It was heck, there are even people out there, I could take you to places and the websites, I'm sure, where you would find out there's where paedophilia is love." Now, Mark Smith claims that, of course, I do not believe that homosexuality is akin to paedophilia. I unequivocally apologize if anyone was ever offended or hurt. Obviously, that would never be my intention. So apparently, that sentence, those sentences in close conjecture, does not mean, according to Mark Smith, that he was comparing them.
I see. So it's like saying, like, shooting a stranger in the leg and emptying out their life savings are two different kinds of disgusting act. Not that they are the same kind of disgusting act, but they're both just things you should not do to another person.
It's... It's really difficult because...
Like, they're two different kinds of bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to, like, they're basically the same thing.
But by saying them very quickly, off the bat of each other, is that saying... Is that comparing them?
No.
Wouldn't... You know, if it's a speech, isn't the message in the ear of the beholder? Ear of the beholder? Is that the right... I don't know.
It's eye of the beholder, normally, yeah.
Well, in this case, if it's a speech, it'd be the ear, surely.
Yeah.
Ear of the beholder? Hashtag walkulators and hashtag ear of the beholder.
I feel like there's another saying that we're both forgetting.
Yeah, absolutely. If you know what it is, let us know. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that he is a homophobe and not really ideal to be running the education ministry if the United Conservative Party were to win? Or do you think that this is a dated clip only from 2013, not that old?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in terms of politics, I don't think he's reflecting Canadian society very well. So, I mean, in terms of his ability to represent a political party, ideally, no. For him to... for him to lead the political party, no. For him to be a member of the political party, probably not. And for him to just be a member of the political party who helps them out in general, maybe, so long as you never, ever hand him a microphone. But I think, like, it's one of those things where, you know, there is this notion of religious freedom, which I'm kind of, like, I understand why it's there, but I also understand it's easy to abuse, because you can take really bad attitudes and just say, well, it's my religious freedom to believe that. Mm-hmm. And I think if they were to say, like, if they were to put that in with other impure acts, if you're to say, like, nothing is sacred, and here, you know, the man-woman relationship is sacred, and you're... You know, you're violating that by getting into same-sex relationships. It's one of those things where, like, I still think that's horrible, but at least I don't think it's deplorable. I think it's just quaint and antiquated to have this notion.
Well, that's what the challenge is. So, yeah. Kenny's essentially said, you know, in all the time I've known him, which is actually really not that long, in all the time he's known him, he's never heard Mark Smith say anything or do anything discriminatory, or at least... He told the media that he's never heard Mark Smith say or do anything discriminatory.
Nothing he considers to be discriminatory. That's the other thing.
Also, but some of the people have raised the issue that, you know, this was 2013. It wasn't that long ago. I think I have food in my freezer from 2013. You know, the idea that somebody's position or somebody's idea of what love is would change in 5 years?
I mean, before Obama got into office, he voted down against equal rights on multiple occasions. By the second year of his second term, so that's 6 years later, 7 years later, he had completely and totally changed his stance. So, I mean, if we're going to forgive Obama...
Well, let's be clear. Yeah. There was a lot of advocacy with Obama. I think he had close friends of Obama, got married. There was a whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting... I don't think we should be suggesting that Mark Smith and Obama had a shared experience here.
What I'm saying is that, like, a lot can happen in 5 years. Now, in those 5 years, he also had plenty of opportunity to give another sermon where he said, yeah, remember what I said back in 2013? Let's, you know, change our tune on that one.
Well, it's interesting. And I think what's really important here, and this is important because... the religious right in Alberta and the United Conservative Party are sort of coming together in this election in interesting ways. And a part of that conversation is leading to the push to actually make it so that teachers reveal to parents if a student has joined a gay straight alliance.
Have we changed topics? Was this a bad segue?
I have transitioned to the... Okay. It's the broader conversation. Why the Mark Smith conversation is important.
Right, okay.
They did a survey. The Vote Campus Online did a survey of 74,600 Albertans with the question of, should parents be informed if their child joins a gay straight alliance, which is really the crux of the issue here. And astonishing, 56% of women surveyed said they strongly disagree. In terms of overall, it was about 49% said strongly disagree. Compare that to strongly agree was 12%.
Uh-huh.
And in terms of somewhat agree was 11%. So they are, maybe a fifth of people are in support of this. And
because I do understand there is this idea of context and the complex social questions like this, the answer should usually start with, it's complicated, but. Although in general, I would say, broadly speaking, don't do it, you know? But I don't know, like if a child goes missing, or like if a parent calls the police because they think their child is missing because they don't know their child goes to a GSA on Tuesday nights, and they call the school, and the school's like, yeah, no, they're here. You know, they're in a club, and then the parents are like, what club? And they say, well, we're not going to tell you. And then the parents find out that Tuesday nights, there's only one club, which is probably not going to happen. But, I mean, like, there's going to be complications. Like, yeah.
There was a worry that with Jason Kenney and the UCP's pledge to remove the NDP's amended school act, it would mean with the Education Act, essentially that mean move would move the current rule saying that teachers don't notify parents when children join gay straight alliances.
Right.
So by promising to make this change, the result equals parents are being notified.
Mm-hmm.
The majority in this quite very large survey, it says that Albertans don't actually want that by a considerable margin. Oh, yeah. By a heck of a margin.
Like the definitely no, and the it's complicated but probably no added up to like 2/3 of them.
Absolutely.
From looking at
now, Kenny has said to the CBC and others that it would leave it to teachers to decide whether it was in the best interest of the child to tell the parents about the child's involvement of the GSA. Now, I think that means that the risk, it essentially, it's not a policy that every child gets outed.
Right.
But now it's a hit and miss as to whether or not you have a teacher who feels compelled to out you to your parents. Like that roulette, I wouldn't want to be in that situation. And more importantly, if you are a closeted child and fear maybe that your parents won't be accepting, which by the way, is all children in the closet. I am yet to find anyone who wasn't concerned or worried about coming out to their parents, myself included. You know, The idea is having someone to talk to, a school guidance counselor, a teacher facilitator for a club that's supposed to be promoting a safe space for that. How is that a place to talk when there is this Russian roulette as to whether or not that teacher will out you to the same parents that you don't know would be safe? And we talked before about LGBT youth homeless is way, way higher than straight youth. It is sad, it is depressing, and it is true that still in Canada today, families kick their LGBT children to the curb because they are gay.
I mean, the way that I would approach this is, like, it's still a thing where every school club needs to be supervised by a teacher. Maybe they don't have to be in the room, but there has to be a teacher who monitors a given club. So just, if you split the difference and said that the teacher who monitors that club, who ideally would not be the sort to out a child, and if they were, the club would probably just fall apart immediately. But if you say, you know, you have the teachers have the right to say that children are in a club, but only the person who runs that club has the right to tell you that they're in that club. And that could literally go for all clubs. Because sometimes you get, like, people who are crazy hockey parents who find out that their kid is not after school in hockey. They're after school in basketball. Curling. Well, I was going to go for just a non-ice sport.
I went to curling.
And they're like, how dare my child be in basketball? They should be in hockey. Like, messed up parents come in a lot of flavors. So just saying, like, you know, where's my child on Wednesday nights? The school has the right to say,
supervised by a competent adult.
They're in a club. It is, it's up to your kid to tell you what. And then only in, like, if there is a special case where, you know, whoever, like, there's a reason to reveal that they're in a given club, make it the organizer of that club has to tell them specifically.
Well, right, or now, something. Like, right now, the schools can't reveal it.
Okay.
Because the idea with the NDP government that's in place. And that's sort of what it is. The Conservatives are promising to take it out and change it. Now, pediatricians have come forward and written an open letter to just Albertans who are interested, essentially noting that the medical profession hasn't really weighed in on this.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting in this open letter that's been signed by quite a lot of pediatricians is they say that, you know, when they're talking to children and their children are revealing things maybe about themselves, their gender identity or how they feel that is, or their sexuality,
yeah,
you know, this is a point of exploration for children. This is a point of or young adults, I should say, it's a point of figuring themselves out and having a space where they can do that without the pressure of, oh my God, how would my parents react, etc.
Yeah.
And pediatricians see that. They see those.
And this is a broad issue. This is not just for LGBT teens. This is all teens deserve a space apart from their families to explore who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to be that for, you know, LGBT teens, that if they're not given that space, very, very, very bad things have a high frequency of happening.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, in this case, there's a high motivation to take it seriously. Although, in general, this is a policy that benefits everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of that argument that, you know, all the spaces where women's rights benefit men, and there's a few spaces where men's rights benefit women. So, like, paternity leave is good for women's careers because they can get back to work sooner. Things like that. So, I mean, it's, you know, LGBT rights is not just about LGBT folks.
Mm.
Like, a lot of people benefit from a lot of the policies that have been, you know, especially for certain people.
Yeah. So what Balfour Boehm said is, in our profession, the only grounds for breaching the circle of confidentiality that exists within the patient-physician relationship would be if a child or adolescent indicates intent to harm others, themselves or others, or if there is a suspected case of abuse or neglect. Now, teachers have a very similar relationship. If they suspect abuse, if they suspect, imminent threats to themselves or to others, that there's an obligation to report. I think in Canada, for child abuse, anyone with in a position of responsibility has a legal obligation to report.
Mm-hmm.
What
and you can go to jail for failing to report.
Absolutely.
Not for long, but I mean, 2 months in low-security prison is still 2 months in prison.
Yep. They go on to say, it is not within our rights to disclose a youth's defined sexual orientation or gender identity unless the youth has provided clear and informed consent for us to share that information. And I think that's a really good point, because if the student has said, I understand the implications, yes, if my mother asks, you can tell them where I am.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. Yeah. And if that teacher reveals where they are, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Consent has been given.
Yeah.
But if the child goes, oh my God, they'll throw me to the wolves, they'll chuck me out, I'll have nowhere to go, don't tell them. And that teacher's like, well, you know, to quote a 2013 sermon I heard at a nearby church, you know, is it really love? Is that really a thing? You know, oddly, it reminds me of pedophiles. They say that's love. You know, you don't know. I'm not suggesting there are teachers out there, but it runs the risk. It runs the, you know, how can you build a trust if there is the chance that they would do that? I don't know. It looks like Albertans are against this, you know, with a clear majority. And hopefully the United Conservative Party of Alberta, should they win, also bears that into account. Now, we're going to jump to a song, because that's quite a lot of talking from us today. Grayson Chance, he kind of re-emerged on the scene.
That's one name, by the way, because every time you say it, it sounds like you're saying Grace and Chance.
No, it's Grayson.
Grayson.
Chance.
Chance.
Anyone under 20 knows who that is.
Okay.
Was like a tween that got really popular, was on Ellen.
Not all of our listeners are under 20.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so he was a tween that got really popular, and you know, like those U2 stars who like do a song and everyone's like, oh my God, they're amazing. Broadly speaking, we avoid those.
Like Bieber.
Yeah, Bieber.
Started off that way.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm like the ones that come after Bieber, the same sort of model. Anyway, so he disappeared for 8 years.
Okay.
Where he got educated, grew up, and came out.
Okay.
And launched an album, and this is the title track of it. And I actually really like it, because it was one that he's developed himself. Isn't really that sort of... I find that studios kind of craft tween stars...
Yeah.
It's not the kind of sound I appreciate.
And they make them all sound like each other as well.
Yeah. Well, this is Grayson Chance. Is very much you can see his own feel for music in this track. This is Shut Up, and we'll be back just after this. You give me much to say. I'm sweating bullets, nervous that you'll push away. And when your eyes catch mine, I know I talk too much. So give me your two lips, and baby, I'll shut up. Lying on the beach, the middle of December. I'm thinking you're too cool to even remember my face, my hair, my eyes, my lips, and my name. Lighting up that clove, your confidence is what I want. I say a lot, I'm loud, cause maybe you're the one. Dressing all black. welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer region. My name is still actually Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
At least we think you are.
Oh, yes.
That's true. Anyways, I want to touch off with two stories that are kind of linked. The first off is there's a Michael Gale, who worked at Marshall's in Oshawa. So for folks, that's like Winners, Home Sense, and I think Marshall's is actually the name of the other one.
And Oshawa is also known as the Schwa.
The Schwa.
And it's between Toronto and
Ajax?
Kingston. Okay. About halfway between. And it's famous for being a weather cell. So you'll be driving along the highway. It'll be beautiful and sunny. All of a sudden, you go through this like vertical curtain of water, and it's raining in Oshawa, and then you come out the other side, and it's
lovely
sunny
and sunny
again.
Yeah.
It's like a movie. I've been through Oshawa multiple times where it's like a pillar of snow, and then everywhere around it is dry, or the opposite, where there's a blizzard going on, and then you drive through Oshawa, and there's this pocket
of like
sunshine.
Planting daisies or something.
Yeah, like if once upon a time, the mediocre fairy tale based
you
drama.
You take that back.
No, I will
you
not.
You take that back.
I will not.
Early seasons, you take that back. You take that
if
back.
If Once Upon a Time really happened in the real world, it would be in Oshawa because that place is a weird weather pocket.
I would believe that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Michael Gale told some people, including the CBC, that he believes he was fired from Marshall's, with the same company as Winners and Home Sense, for being gay.
Okay.
Now, he went into work, had painted nails, and you know, there were some comments made by his manager, and friends of his were in the store, heard other managers making fun of him, making rude comments, just really, really denigrating him, specifically because of his sexuality.
Okay.
Which is unacceptable. And he did the right thing. He said, stop that. And they didn't.
I feel like you're summarizing.
I am definitely summarizing. We've got places to be. We're lesbians walking. We've got places to be. So Michael Gale filed a complaint with this very large company, i.e. Marshall's.
Yes.
So, I think it's owned by TJX or TK Maxx in Britain. Big
I'm currently knitting a scarf with Marshall's yarn.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so.
Also, by the way, listening audience, I knit.
He does knit.
Yeah, yeah.
Important
that,
information.
That sweater vest I was wearing earlier, I knit that.
You knitted that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, your cat's not on it anymore.
No.
Moved it because I got somewhere to be after this, and I don't want to be covered in cat hair.
You got places to be. You got to walk there. Like a
and I'm going
to
get there quickly, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Marshall's investigated, as they would, and they did exactly what they thought, and they found that Michael Gale was targeted during his time there. And they were like, yeah, no, you're right. Your complaint was sufficient. Let me just get the wording there. This manager's making fun of him. They said they pulled him into the office to discuss his sexual orientation and background. The investigation found that Gale was targeted. So the regional HR manager said, yes, they participated in conversations that were hurtful and against the human rights protected grounds of sexuality. Warnings were issued. And,
to him?
No, to the people making inappropriate
remarks
about his sexuality. And ergo, case equals closed.
Okay,
we investigated. You were right. They're a dick. We told them off. Case closed.
Excellent.
Moving on. Now, the next day, can you imagine going back into work the next day after your manager gets a stern letter from head office? Well, needless to say, it went exactly as one would imagine.
Mm.
And they started to make him, he says, they started to ask him to do tasks that were impossible to complete. Therefore, he would be incompleting tasks.
Yes.
So for one, for example, he was asked to do a number of things prior to starting, setting up sections that he wasn't ever responsible for prior to this letter that came out. And essentially he said, you know, it sounds like you're just targeting me. I'll go back to HR. And they said, nope, you need to do that or else.
Or else.
And he said, I can't. And he was fired.
Hmm.
Now, Marshall's can't comment on it because it's currently in front of the, well, it's been submitted to the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal to address. But what was really interesting here is TJX Companies and Marshall's Winners and HomeSense is a big visual sponsor of major pride parades.
Oh, yes.
You go anywhere, they're waving. There was a big controversy because they're waving their flags where they've branded the flag. That annoyed me.
Yeah.
But yeah, they branded their own pride flags. We'll set that aside for a second. But they like, they show, they like, there's like beach volleyballs they pass around. There's a whole thing that goes on. They're very visible in pride parades. So, first of all, it's odd that they had such a homophobic staff, according to themselves, yeah, inside that store. But his point was, you know, how can this happen in a store that, like, matches in the Pride Parade? You know, they say they're a very gay-friendly, very pro-diversity store. Come spend your money on our clothes and store and, like, shop items. But if you work there and you're being targeted for being gay... What happens next?
There's two possible answers, and they're not mutually exclusive. The first is that the people in charge of marketing are actually the people who are gay-friendly, at least, yeah. Or the more cynical response, which is that the people in charge of marketing chose to portray themselves as being friendly. And it could be both. That's entirely possible. It could also be that, you know, the HR team that runs them, the corporation from head office off in, I don't know, London or Toronto, wherever it is, they are actually exactly as queer-friendly as they claim to be, but that doesn't necessarily say anything about the branch managers. And the branch managers, I don't think when they hire them, part of the interview is...
Are you a dick?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know.
And that dovetails very nicely into what I wanted to talk about as well, is Lisa Emin, who is a lawyer in Toronto and a member of Toronto Pride, has submitted a raft of resolutions, including, by the way, a resolution that Toronto Pride has to tell people,
yes,
what resolutions they're bound by, because their website hasn't had a media release since June 2018.
Okay.
Which is... insane.
That's a while ago.
That's been a while. A lot has happened since then. Yeah. A lot has happened. Now, Lisa Emin writes the following, and this has been submitted to Toronto Pride. Now, she writes, whereas, and this is the language of motions, anything that says whereas, imagine they're saying, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I read them. Like, by the way, whereas it was once considered progressive for corporations to express publicly their support via participation in the Pride Parade.
Yeah.
Whereas, we are in Toronto in 2019 and things have progressed considerably. Whereas, being present and taking up space via a corporate float is no longer the progressive stance it was. Sidebar, by the way,
yeah,
the Toronto Pride Parade is so long,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
that if you're just a homo who wants to celebrate, you have to commit yourself to like a 30-hour walk around several blocks at a glacial pace.
Yeah.
Like, it is float, 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 float.
Maybe the problem is there's so many straight people in the parade that it's slowed down, and if it was just gay...
That's it, they'd walk a lot faster. It'll be done in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Actually, it would be the baton twirlers would be the ones who set the pace. Because there's always baton twirlers, and if you put them at the front and let them set the pace for everyone else.
And you put
else,
the butch lesbians at the back, they'll keep it going.
They'll be like, move along,
absolutely,
move along.
Absolutely, yeah. No, yeah, we should have a word with them about the parade strategy.
Absolutely.
Anyway, back to the thing. Whereas there are better ways for corporations to show their support, whereas the Sunday parade is too long and as a result is a barrier to participation. You have to be able to like not pass out from heat stroke.
Yeah, no, people, there is actually was it 2 years ago? I think it was like 30 people or something ridiculous like that.
Passed out in the parade.
Or had to be escorted out of the parade route because they were about to pass out. Dehydration is a major problem, yeah.
Whereas the major reason for this is the proliferation of corporate floats, whereas the membership has indicated a desire to return to the roots of pride, i.e. gay people marching, be it resolved, this is the important bit, this is the rule I'm going to make for you, be it resolved that corporate floats are hereby banned from all Pride Toronto parades and marches.
I think...
What do you think?
I think... not necessarily corporations, but corporate associations. So, like, I know that...
like employees of...
My brother works for one of the banks, and there's a group there of openly LGBT employees of that bank. So that organization, in that they are all LGBT, should be allowed to march if they choose to.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of them being on foot carrying a banner and not having a huge float that takes 10 minutes to turn a corner.
And so, that's the big difference, I think.
It splits the difference as well. It does allow... it allows individuals within a corporation who are proud to be members of that corporation to march in a big gay thing.
Yeah.
And get to be big gays walking in a big gay thing. And the corporation gets to have themselves visible. But if the branding is just like you're allowed to wear t-shirts with your logo on it and carry a banner, like, that's a very different story from... a, you know, 15-meter long float that takes 10 minutes to turn a corner.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. You know, it takes many, many hours for these parades to go.
And marchers are much easier to organize than floats.
I mean, I get it. I think on the one hand, you know, the parade is ridiculous in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I think we have the other major cities, Vancouver, Montreal, Quebec City, starting to look at the same things. You know, in Ottawa Pride, there was a kerfuffle at the near about two-thirds of the way through the parade where there was a protest, and the last third of the parade had to wait. People started to go home because they thought it was done. You know, and this other third starts to march along, and they're like, oh my gosh, like, there's more people coming. Like, it was, communication was not a thing. But the issue is that people do not expect parades to go on forever. It's like there's only so much times you can go, woo,
I think an hour and a half is a good time.
Like, tops.
I mean, I'm also not a parade guy. Even when I was a kid and my mom tried to drag me out to the Santa Claus parade once, and I was just bored out of my mind. And her response to that was, thank God, because she also doesn't really like parades. So,
but you don't see 60, 70 corporations lining up for the, you know, Santa Claus parade.
Well, no, I mean, you only see 60, 70 corporations and a couple marching bands. But yeah, it's, I mean, that's, I'm not a parade guy in general, so I'm not the one to talk to. But I mean, I do understand the symbolism of it, and definitely getting fewer corporate entities and more organizations that are mostly or entirely by and for the community.
We're not saying allies don't come, like PFAG, Parents and Friends of... Parents and Family of Lesbians and Gays. Extremely important. They are integral to our community. And allies and family are vital. But when you see corporate bank followed by corporate bank, followed by local, you know, local grocery store, followed by local clothing store, followed by local clothing store, followed by local hardware store. And he's like, where is the gays? Like, where's the volleyball team? Where's, you know?
I mean, if it's local, I think... I think you're just throwing in the word local, but I mean, I do actually think if it is local, that is much more positive than if it's corporate. Like, if Walmart is marching in...
Which they do.
If they're marching in, like, the Windsor Parade versus, you know, the Windsor Home Hardware, or not Home Hardware, like, Windsor's Sally's Hardware Store, where it's Sally...
Where Sally's to, just a big old lesbian,
Who happens to sell hammers and nails. Then, I mean, absolutely, she and her employees should be welcome to march in the parade.
Gay-owned businesses, absolutely.
I think they get a pass, because there's not a lot of them. I mean, in that case, in the case of Ottawa, that'd be Bridgehead. So Bridgehead is a chain of coffee stores that's almost exclusively here. They do a lot.
They give back a lot to the community. They give a lot to the community, And that's... And I think that's the big thing. Just to loop back to Marshalls. You know, this is a corporation that says, yeah, you were targeted. They were awful. We've told them to stop. Oh, now they've made a bunch of, allegedly, made a bunch of demands where you can't, suddenly you're being inept and you're being fired. Whoopsie-daisy. You know, not that they said whoopsie-daisy, but it's like, how does that approach reflect the marching and the parade?
Something else that I discovered... because when I used to be on the board of Ottawa Pride, so were you at a different point.
Separate times,
And then I was also the representative of Pride in the Ottawa Festivals Association. So I got to meet people from other festivals, and I discovered that Pride parades don't know what a marshal is. We're the only ones who have marshals as some kind of symbolic thing. For most parades, the marshal are, it's more traditional, like the marshals marshal the parade. They make everybody walk at the appropriate pace. They keep people from sitting in the middle of the road. They keep everything moving along. They get people to stop at lights. If it's one of those, some parades have to stop at red lights every so often to let traffic through. So they're the ones who monitor that. They're the people who basically keep the parade going on time. Whereas pride parades have no marshals of any variety. And then we have these other people that we call marshals, between very large quotation marks, where they sit in a cart and...
Marshals.
Yeah, and they sit in a car and they wave, and it's a symbolic position. And those are normally the... Those would be the head marshal, which is a symbolic position.
Yeah.
But we only have the head marshal and no actual marshals, which is another reason why the parade takes forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're just poorly organized, and big surprise there, you know.
That's so true. We're so busy having brunch and walking quickly.
I mean, maybe we walk quickly because we're poorly organized.
On our way to brunch.
Yeah.
I like it. That's so true. So we spoke to Lisa Amin, and the motions were introduced on April the 1st at the special general meeting. However, due to the requirements under the Corporations Act of Ontario, the votes couldn't be taken on that day. Now, it's actually seen as a good thing because this motion and others, some of which were a bit more controversial, was seen to have really actually just triggered a conversation to happen in the community. Now, we've just spent the last 10-20 minutes talking about corporate floats at Pride, and we want to be clear here that Lisa told us that she doesn't want to be, you know, a begrudge corporations getting involved, but maybe there are more efficient or more effective ways that corporations can be involved with the Pride Parade. There is a community fair, for example. They could be activating different spaces. They could be engaging with their audience in a way that makes sense for their corporation instead of just clogging up the parade. Now, it's not likely that these motions will be seen the light of day. They're not likely to get voted on until at least after the parade of 2019. But what's most important is that people are starting to have that conversation.
That is a 20-minute conversation.
We've pretty much run out of time here. We have just about enough time for a headline quip. Ooh. Bruce MacArthur investigation. Now, they cracked open a lot of cold cases. MacArthur has been ruled out as of time of recording in 8 of 23 cold cases that Toronto is looking into. Yeah. Weirdly, looking into these cold cases, they've solved one.
Oh.
Yeah, a gay man who was murdered was killed by somebody else. Unfortunately, that guy died in 2015.
Oh, okay.
So they can't charge him, obviously, because he's already died. But... case solved.
Oh.
Now, what was really interesting is there is a great podcast called The Village that has been launched by the CBC. I heard about it in their new podcast, The Front Burner, where they interviewed about the other podcast. It's all very complicated.
Yeah.
But check out The Village. We will link. It's on the CBC, and it is following the Bruce MacArthur cold case investigations and some other things. And the fact that they're not as... they're not as proactively investigating as I would like.
Uh-huh.
I think they can do more.
Cold cases are famously difficult to investigate, though. So, I mean, I'm willing to give them a bit of slack. Not a lot, but a bit. Like,
Mic, I'm going to tell you what's going on, but we've run out of time. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian.
And we're playing out with Ashley MacIsaac's Wingstop.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.